This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a holiday weekend.
That's right. It is a holiday. I mean, I think a lot of people, obviously people have Monday off for the Labor Day. I think some people took yesterday and probably Thursday off as well.
Well, I hadn't heard about Thursday, but I heard about Friday.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
there was a lot. Yeah, a lot of people took Friday off.
Once you start taking vacation days, you have vacation creep is what I call it, because once you have Thursday, or once you take Friday, then it's like, well, maybe I'll leave early on Thursday, and then all of a sudden that gets pushed back. Well, maybe I'll just call in sick on Thursday, and then it's like, well, if I'm going to be out Thursday, I might as well be out Wednesday, because mentally I'm checked out.
Oh, no.
Anyway. Yeah.
If they take that many days off, somebody's going to suspect something.
Yeah.
I don't believe they could do that.
I don't know. I know some people that get away with it.
Wow.
I know.
They sure don't work for me.
No.
Oh, wait. I'd go bring them back by their shirt tail. I'd be bringing them back, pulling on them. Get back in here.
You'd go pick them up in a police car, I'm sure.
That's right. I'd say, you know, we got to pick up this one, and that one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. But I do know a lot of people that yesterday, the parking lots at some of the big companies was empty.
Oh, really? So they did take the day off.
They took the day off. And so they're going somewhere. They're going to be gone all weekend and going to come dragging back, you know, Monday night. They won't get back till midnight, probably.
Well, and you know what that means? That means they're gonna vacation creep into Tuesday. They'll go in half a day, or maybe none at all. That's how that's gonna go.
I hope not. It'd be a bad week because you wouldn't get any production done. Oh my gosh.
It's the nature of vacation creep. But after we get into next week, then we're into September, and this is great because now we're kind of into the fall season, and this is a time of year where people, you know, they start to wind up their business. Obviously, it's in a couple of months, but we get in that fall thing, and then Thanksgiving, and then we look forward to the new year of 2020. And so, man, this year seems like it's just flown by, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a fast, fast year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what to think. I mean, here we are, September just staring us right in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that'll be fast, and then it'll be where you want to be, October.
You know how I love October Halloween candy and...
I know you're already, you know, got it worked out, probably.
I do.
Oh, my gosh, I knew it. Oh, you'll figure out how much candy you can stand.
Yes.
Without just, you know, just fainting dead away.
Exactly. How much can I take before I explode?
That's what I was thinking, exactly. Oh, my gosh, you're worse than every little kid in the world.
I really am. On the inside, I'm like five.
Yeah, I mean, what does your wife think about your love for candy?
Well... It's nice on the front end, but then when she has it with me, and then she blames me because I made her have it. So then it's not so good on the back end. But going into it, it's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sit down and decide which candy you want out of the pile.
Yeah.
You know, which one's your favorite. You can do that.
Yeah.
And then you can say, oh, well, we'll just eat them all.
Yeah.
Don't even be particular.
We've been on this kick lately where we like to go to the bakery and get some cannolis and some baklava.
Ooh, I love that. Baklava, yes, yes.
I don't know where that came from, but that's our new kick.
Yes, and that's as Greek as it comes.
Yeah. Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. A lot of people, I didn't even know if they knew about baklava.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness, it's one of our favorites.
Oh, my. Yeah, you can stuff that thing. Oh, my gosh. You put so much goodies.
I can see you've got baklava on the brain now.
I do. Now that you've mentioned it, I'll have to have it, I guarantee. Woo! And, that, you know, that pastry is just... you know, crumbles in your hand.
Oh, it does. It is so smooth. Oh. It's fascinating to me how they can take such a thin layer. You know, they have to have it like under a moist cloth in order so that it doesn't break while they're making it. And you see how thin that is, and then you see how thick a wedge of baklava actually is. It's got to take 1,000 layers to make it that thick.
And it comes out so beautiful. I mean, when it comes out of the oven, it's just stunning how it looks.
It is. It looks so beautiful. It smells beautiful. It has that little glistening, glowing thing. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, because you know they brush the top of it.
Yes.
I don't know if they brush it with egg whites. That's usually what you brush it with to get that glaze.
Yeah. Oh, it looks so beautiful.
Ooh. Now you've got me hungry. Now I'm ready.
Now I want some baklava.
There you go. And bakeries, it's just, I love bakeries.
Oh, I know it. Me too. Goodness gracious.
I love to smell everything. When you walk in a bakery, it is to die for.
It really is. Smell. Because they'll have like the cake batter and the cookie batter and then anything else, you know, like cannolis or whatever that they're making. And then if there's anything with cinnamon and brown sugar, all that mixes with it and it just becomes this. There's no conflicting scents when it comes to baking. Cooking, yes, but baking, no. Everything works in harmony.
Well, and you know, this week I was watching Bobby Flay. I don't know if you ever watch him.
Oh,
I'm crazy about him. And he was saying that chicken is just his favorite to-go-to food. And he says he goes to these little bitty places in New York that have the waffles with the chicken, which I was never, you know, really a fan of.
Oh.
But this place showed how they do their waffles. They even put, inside the waffle, they'll put... meringue in it for lightness to keep that thing light. Can you imagine?
Boy.
And then they'll put all kinds of goodies in their waffles. They put broccoli. They put every kind of thing in the world so you can get a waffle with just anything in the world in it.
Oh, my goodness. Do they put candy?
I didn't ask about candy, but everything else. And it showed on the chicken, they dip it in honey. They dip it in every kind of thing in the world, and they double fry it. And it was beautiful. I mean, it really was. I could see why he said, you know, you have to have all this chicken. And he had 2 or 3 places that he goes to just for that.
Oh, I might explode right now. Have you had chicken and waffles, or do you just not
I've
like it?
I've never had it. No, I've never had it.
Oh, you need to.
I didn't think it sounded good. But after he got through and I saw the pictures, I said, yes, I need to try that.
Yes, you need to try
that. Yes.
It'll change your life.
That's what he told me on this. He said, this is so outstanding. And I was just impressed like nothing in the world.
Yeah.
I said, you know, if I could have that, woo, and chicken like that, you know, I just didn't know. But that does sound amazing, doesn't it?
I'm sure that that chicken, if they double fried it, I'm sure they went the extra mile and made some nice, dipped it in buttermilk too, I'm sure, didn't they?
Yes, that was the last thing. They dipped it in buttermilk. But they dipped it in some other things before it ever got to the buttermilk. Yeah. I mean, I can't even remember what all the sauces were they put on it and that did something to it. Then they dipped it in the buttermilk and then 2 different kinds of flour.
Oh.
And double fried that son of a gun. And they were beautiful and golden.
I'm sure. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so Texans need to step up to the plate. We need some of this.
Wow. All right. Well, we better get this done because I know where I'm going as soon as we're done with this show.
I know where you're going. It'll be straight to the restaurant. You won't even have to go.
Yeah, I'm on my way. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, last time we talked, we were talking about policy availability. And you said, well, it's not, you know, there are a few out there, but it's not, you know, going gangbusters right now as far as new policies coming in. So how did it go this past week? Are there more policies?
We have had a tremendous amount of policies come in. We're doing three policies right now, and we're going to do another large policy next week. So we have availability and availability gangbusters right this minute. And some of these had such low premium, it was amazing. In fact, I bid one yesterday that the premium on, I believe it was $250,000, it was $600 a year.
Really?
$600 a year.
That's amazing.
And I filled up one policy this week, and when everybody found out that it was, the premium was just almost non-existent, I was only going to put like $80,000 apiece. And two different guys said, no, I have to have $100,000. The premium is so low. So they love a low premium when we can come with it. But anyway, we've got three to four policies we'll be filling. And it's just first come, first serve this time because there's so many people wanting in them. And I have a school teacher that sometimes she doesn't get her email. Sometimes we have to pass her over, then we come back, let her in another policy. I have all kinds of people that have different things going, you know, and sometimes they forget to look at their email. Sometimes they, you know, read it the next morning, and we try to still get them in that same policy. So we'll be filling up three policies this next week, which is wonderful. You know, we haven't had three policies at one time in, you know, several weeks, maybe a month even.
Wow. And to have the premiums that low, it's almost like it's like you were waiting for this perfect storm to hit, and then boom, now you got all these policies, low premiums. It's just, it's amazing how that just comes through like that.
That's right. And one of them doesn't have as low a premium, but the profit angle on is fantastic. Hmm. So I think everybody will go in it, even though the premium is not as low as the others. But the return is really good. It has a great return. So I think they'll be really excited about that one this week. And as I said, we'll have one big one this week and two smaller ones. So everybody can get in a policy this week. Nobody's going to be turned down. So it's a great time to get in a policy.
Wow. And do you find, and I know it kind of changes, you know, by just availability, but do you find that these come in spurts like this, or is this like a rare thing?
Well, I think what happened this time, we kept waiting and waiting for some policies that people had problems. We had two women that had cancer that wanted, you know, to sell their policies. They were both getting a divorce. These are the ones I talked about a month ago. And they couldn't do anything until the divorce was final because they knew that the husband was going to try to take part of that insurance policy.
Oh, yeah.
And so they got those done, and those women came back this week and said, here we are, we've signed our contract.
Good, good.
So, you know, that was a big deal because I didn't know if we'd ever get those policies.
I know.
And everybody assured me they were coming, but I couldn't believe them. You know, I'm going, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, so as we go into September, and then we're looking at like the fourth quarter here, what typically does this time of year look like? Do you know, does the holidays affect things, or what can we expect for the next for the final quarter of the year?
I think it'll be a great quarter because I think we're going to get more policies now. I think we're back on a roll again. I think we'll have plenty of policies. Also, we've got about five policies we're waiting to pay off. And, you know, we had a problem with Texas, and I've just rectified that. Texas said we are 4 months behind on getting out death certificates. Now, that's not, that is a complete inefficiency.
For
a state to, yeah, they said we cannot get you these death certificates. So we've outsmarted them. We've went to the courthouse where the people lived and said, get us the death certificates. We've been waiting on these.
Really?
So, yeah. So we'll have death certificates on two of those next week that we were really having a problem with.
Well, now, Faye, that's genius.
Well, I don't know why no one else thought about it. When they told me that we were behind on these two policies, we didn't have them, it was going to be another month, I go, wait a minute, we've got to do something. So, you know, I called the courthouse in Laredo, I called the courthouse in El Paso. Yes, we can get them right there. We don't have to wait for the state of Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, we had trouble with Pennsylvania earlier in the year, and we finally figured out a way around that. But it's ridiculous to have to work on this hard, you know?
You know,
usually you just send it in, you get the death certificate, and you're, you know, in 6 weeks you're through.
That's the great thing, though. You know, whenever something comes up like this and something's like out of your hands, you're waiting on somebody else, you have found ways to get around it, and you get the documents you need immediately. So when there is a delay, it doesn't sound like it's really a very long delay because you handle it.
That's right. We have to be smart, and we have to figure out what to do. I mean, you know, it's up to us. We've got to help them out and get this done, and we have.
Wow.
So we've got about 4 or 5 policies that will be coming in, and everybody's fixing to get paid on those, and that's wonderful.
That is great. That is fantastic. So as we go into the final quarter of the year, what should people be thinking about when they're looking at their portfolio? They're looking at, you know, retirement. They're looking at investing. They're looking at the whole picture, you know, because things kind of, you know, the weather gets cool. People kind of hunker down a little bit. You know, they take time off. They kind of slow down. And is this generally a good time of year to kind of reassess people's situation?
Well, I think so, because a lot of people are going to be retiring. You know, some of the oil companies have laid off like 600 people.
Mm.
So a lot of those, they're going to give them early retirement. They're going to give them a package. So a lot of those people will be coming to us saying, you know, I'm getting paid in a lump sum. I had some people this week that they have laid them off. They got a lump sum. They brought it to us, and we're putting it in policies. So, you know, we know we're going to have some of that. So that's one thing we'll be doing, is all these people that are going to retire, you know, with the lump sum. I don't know what age they're doing it, if it's 59, 60, or over 60. I just don't know. But I know the one that came to us was 66.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so they let all these guys go, but gave them a pretty good package.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, we have seen how a lot of these companies have overshot profits. I've heard some are anywhere from 50 to 80% over a prediction. And so they're falling short. And so, yeah, there are a lot of layoffs going on. But what do you think, how long do you think that's going to last? Do you think things will turn around, or is this like a long-term situation?
I hope not. I'm thinking that if they get everybody can get everything turned around and get the price of oil back up, you know, things will change. You know, out here it changes every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing stays the same. But some of the experts that I've talked to said they overextended. They went out here and you know, spent stockholders' money, so that's what they have. And now the stockholders are saying, we're not making a dime with you. You know, where is our money? Where's our profit? Well, they're not getting a profit right now because the price of oil's down, and heck, they're laying people off to see if they can get their profit back up.
Do you think we're headed for another bust, or is this just temporary?
I think it's just a temporary thing.
Okay.
I don't think this time it's going to happen. I think it'll be fine. I think they've caught it early enough. They're going to make adjustments. They're going to lay some people off, which is a shame. That's not the way it should have happened. But remember, they built big buildings. They spent a lot of money. And this, again, remember, these are public companies. It's stockholder money. So if they can't make a good return, you know, the stockholders are going to get antsy.
So
a lot of them are going to have to correct everything.
So to simplify things, they just need a little bit of time to catch up with what they've already spent.
That's exactly right. They're going to have to figure out a way to get it profitable again. And the smaller companies are hurting. I have one guy that came to me that he had been in well service all these years. And he said the last bid he did that put him out of business, he wouldn't have made but 5%.
Oh.
The big companies were squeezing him out.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what they did. They just simply squeezed him out, and I guess they'll have their own service company. So, you know, he said he'd been in business 12 years out here, always made a good profit and a good living. And they just flat, you know, froze him out.
So for people who have, you know, like a payout or, you know, a lump sum that all of a sudden has come unexpected, what should people do? Should they come see you? Should they put some away? Should they?
Well, they should come see me, see if we can turn it around and make them more money. You know, and a lot of them do not want to be in the stock market anymore. That's just part of it. They're saying, you know, we've been in there too long. The couple that came see me this week, the lady said, we were in the Enron deal in Houston. We lost it all. Oh. It's taken us this long to make this much money back. Now, you know, this is the second person that I've talked to that came to us that had been in Enron.
Uh-oh.
And Enron one day was just flush with money, trading at $95. And the next day, if you remember, it fell to 25 when the scandal hit.
Oh, yeah, the bottom fell out.
The bottom fell out. They never got their money back. I talked to one lady. She said, I was just fixing to retire. Had $600,000. She said, I have nothing. Nothing to live on. She said, I'll be working, you know, the rest of my life.
See, now, we talk about that all the time. Those are some real-life scary numbers right there. To lose $600,000 like that, you know, after I'm assuming what was probably years of investing in Wall Street, and now all of a sudden it's all gone, and this lady said that she's going to be working for the rest of her life until literally she tips over. And so that's got to be kind of a wake-up call. Do you expect the oil situation here, is there any kind of correlation between this and Wall Street? Like maybe what people can expect in the next few months on Wall Street?
Well, you know, the bonds are upside down right now, you know, and in other countries it's really bad. Their mortgages are minus. Mm. They've issued mortgages and they're minus. How do you have a minus mortgage?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, minus interest. And I've never heard of that.
No.
I didn't know you could have minus interest, but you can. And some of the bonds the other day, you know, they turned over and were minus. So that's the things people are concerned about. And if they're in the stock market, yes, they do need to be concerned. The stock market is just up and down, and you've got to live with it, you know. This lady told me that she checked their balance every day. And that's ridiculous. I mean, she's got to check it every day because they've been through Enron, and they don't want to ever lose everything again. So when he retired, they said, we want our money out of the 401k. We want it where it's just, you know, regular investment, where every day we don't have to look at it. We know that it's safe.
So
the principal is going to set there.
Here's the deal, though. For people who are checking their portfolio every day, if they check it and something happened and it's gone, it's gone. There's nothing you can do at that point to, you know, go back and make something retroactive and not lose all that. Once you check it and it's gone, it's gone. So should people take more, steps on the front end to avoid something like that?
Well, you do everything you can. You know, remember, if you've got a 401k, you can't say how you want it done. I mean, it's regulated by the company. The company takes care of your 401. So there's not a lot you can do about that. Now, once it becomes an IRA, you know, and you're doing it yourself, yes, you can do anything you want to. But that's why when people retire, they want to get out of that 401k and get it over to us where they have a lot more control on their destiny.
So as people are getting closer to retirement, or even as we just, you know, as we go through time every day, there seems like there's something else that just, it's shocking to people. And so at this point, is it fair to say that anybody in the stock market is investing on essentially borrowed time? Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think so, because you don't know what's going to happen. It's up and down. And this guy mentioned 1987 to me, and I'd forgot about that. 1987, when it went down.
Well, I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, I forgot all about it. But he mentioned that. He went through that. He went through Enron. He's went through a lot of stuff. And, you know, they had $400,000 when they lost it before.
Mm.
So now they're very skittish, you know. And he did say in 1 year he worked every day, and he paid off his house, he paid their credit cards off, and he paid off their cars. Now, he was thinking right, because he didn't want to ever go through that again, where it was so scary.
Yeah.
You know, so what could happen to him? So he has paid his house off, his cars off, everything. And now, even though he's not going to have as much in retirement, he wants it to be safe, and he's not even going to need it for 2 years.
Yeah.
So they've got enough to live on for that long.
I think a lot of people are in the same situation. They're getting a little bit skittish, you know, because things are a little bit uncertain. I keep hearing things about how people are really unsure about the stock market. And so this is a chance for people to take maybe what they have. Maybe they've made a little bit of profit. Maybe they haven't. Regardless, this is a chance to take that, invest in something a little bit more secure. So what the big program we're talking about is life settlements. And this is where people invest in a life insurance policy. What's the biggest difference for somebody who's always been in the stock market their whole life? What's the biggest difference in switching from the stock market to a life settlement?
Well, to me, it's the fact that it doesn't go up and down every day. You know, it's a fixed instrument. When you buy a life insurance policy, you know how much the face amount is. You know what you're going to make. You know what percentage. You know everything about it. And everybody has owned life insurance. That's what makes it easy to understand. They may not understand the workings of the deal, but they know it's a life insurance policy and it can't go down in value.
So for those that don't understand the workings, it's basically, because like you said, people oftentimes buy their own policy. This is a program where people can buy other people's life insurance policy.
That's exactly right. And we're buying policies on people that have stage 4 cancer that really, really need to sell that policy. Like these two ladies that got a divorce. You know, they have cancer, they needed the money, but they didn't dare take the money till the divorce was final. Mm-hmm. And then we have people that come to us every day. Breast cancer is a big deal. We do a lot of breast cancer policies. And one that I was looking at yesterday, she not only had breast cancer, it was in the fallopian tubes, and then it was right there by the liver, and it was in the lymph nodes. And then they said, well, it wasn't progressing. What do you mean it's not progressing? She is on opiates. She is taking severe oxycodone for pain.
Uh-oh.
That's how you can tell how bad the cancer is.
Yeah.
If they're on oxycodone, you know it's severe.
Yeah.
Because you don't start that until the very last.
No. You start at much much less intense drugs. And so by the time they get
that's
to
right.
that, and you're reading these reports and you're looking at these things. And so how does a life insurance policy end up in a situation where somebody someplace else is trying to sell their policy? How does that go from that situation to somebody from right here in West Texas in investing in it?
Well, the way it works is, as you know, we have licensed providers that we buy from, and they bring us policies and said, here, we would like for you to bid on this policy. So we bid on them. If we get the bid, then we email our customers and say, okay, we've just bought this policy. We'd like for you to go in it. We're thinking of investment of $50,000 to $100,000. So then if they say yes, we've already sent them all the information. They know what kind of cancer it is, how long they've had it, and how long 21st Services or whoever it is says they're going to live. And it's not always right, but it's pretty close. And we do studies all the time to see which company is right more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And 21st Services is pretty good. About 4 years ago, they weren't. Everybody talked to them. They shut down. They redid their models, and now they're very good at it.
So you're always, reevaluating the evaluations that come in to make sure that, you know, they're still on top of it. They're still making sure that, you know, they're giving accurate, life expectancies. They're giving accurate information. So it's not like you just set it and forget it and just take their word for it. You're always going back and rechecking and reexamining and reanalyzing the data that you get. And that's pretty cool because it tells people, I believe, that, you know, not only are you just kind of like going through the motions, you are actually studying to make sure the trends haven't changed, things like that.
Well, this is exactly right. And we want to make sure that the policies that we buy are going to come in as close to on time as possible. You know, I talked to one of the providers yesterday, and they were doing some of these 5 to 7 year deals. And I go, how can you be doing a 5 to 7? What in the world's wrong with people? Can't be anything wrong with them. They must just be wanting to sell their policy. If it's a 5 to 7, golly, that thing could go on for years.
Wow.
So, you know, we just don't do that, you know. We try to make sure it's, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 3.5, you know, not any longer than that. And it has to be stage four. And when it has metastasized to different places, we know that it's short term. We know they're not going to live very long.
And the reason is because the by bidding on stage four cancer, these policies we know in most cases will pay out earlier and faster. So that means the profit turns around faster, which means people can take that profit, reinvest it, and grow their money faster. Is that basically right?
That is basically right. And people like to know how much they're going to make, which you can't do in the stock market. They want to know what the basics of it is. And the basics is it's a life insurance policy, and it can't go down. When we cash that in for the clients, whatever the face amount is, that's what you get. Life insurance companies don't go in and discount the face amount. You're always going to get the face amount of that policy. And I think that's the best part of the whole deal, is you know what you're going to make. You know that the face amount is what the life insurance company is going to pay, and you know it's a huge life insurance company. So as I always say, it's not someone in Podunk.
Yeah, yeah. These are companies that have the money to back it up. They have the reputation. They've been around forever. So, I mean, everything is there to back these up so people can feel pretty confident that they're going to get paid. So what's the deal? Say somebody, because we're talking about a lot of money, say somebody's into a couple of policies, $200,000, $400,000. They're in several policies with you, and then just say the stock market crashes next week. What happens?
Not anything. This will go right on like it is. You know, this is a solid life insurance policy contract. It's not going to change. It doesn't matter if the stock market's up, if it's down, if it closed temporarily for an hour. You know, you remember several years ago when all those deals malfunctioned up there in New York.
Yeah.
And you know, the trading, it was just going fast, and they had to stop it. Remember that?
I do.
And scared everybody, I mean, half to death.
Yeah, there was panic all over the place.
There was panic back then. So anything can happen. Anything can happen at all. It won't affect your investment in a life insurance policy.
Does that seem to be one of the biggest draws, especially with people as nervous, I guess, and concerned with what's happening on Wall Street and what could happen? Does that seem to be the biggest comfort for people, is that it is its own entity, and no matter what happens around the world, nothing will affect a life settlement?
They love that part. And then everybody has talked to another friend that has a policy that's done well. And just the fact of knowing their friend did so good, it brings them in the door. And they go, so-and-so is a friend of mine. He's got his money with you. He's been in there 2 or 3 years. He's made money, and I want to join. And that's just that simple.
You know, and that's a big deal. I mean, it may be simple. Yeah, you're right. But that is a big deal for people to go out and vouch and give testimonial about, you know, anything, whether it's a life settlement, an investment, or a restaurant, or, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. For somebody to go out, put their own reputation on the line, vouching for something, that is a very big deal. And you say that that's how a lot of new clients come to see you, is that they know somebody who's been making and they were recommended, right?
That's exactly right. And so, you know, this guy the other day that came in this week, he said a friend of his said, we have our money with Bay Bagby of the American Financial. And so he called up and said, you know, I'm getting a package. Here's how much the package is. I need to come see you. And that was just that simple.
Hmm. All right. So, for people who are looking for maybe a more conservative, less risk, there is risk involved, obviously. There's risk with everything, and we'll get into those here in just a little bit. But for people who are tired of being up all night, wondering if they have anything in their portfolio left, wondering if they're going to look back tomorrow and say, geez, yesterday I should have, and as a result, now I've lost everything. If somebody's in that situation, this is a chance to invest in something where the value doesn't go down, they won't have to be up all night. It's much more conservative, and so people should call you. So what is your phone number over there, Faye?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and every Saturday morning around this time, we take a small little break from finances. We talk about trivia. We talk about all kinds of wonderful things with trivia, whether it's a place to visit, something to put on your bucket list, or some history about Texas. So what's our subject this morning?
Well, it's going to be about this weekend, Labor Day weekend.
Ah, of course.
Okay, the biggest thing about Labor Day weekend, they're going to the beach, barbecues, ball games, and buying things.
Ah, the bees.
25% of Americans will go out of town. 25%. Now then, 102 million will have a cookout.
Wow.
102 million.
That's a lot of cookouts.
Yes. Thousands will pack college football stadiums. The average weekend shopper, and I believe this is wrong, is going to spend $58. I'm going to tell you something. I want to see a woman spend just $58.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't believe that story. Labor Day, as you know, can be traced back to the streets of 1880s in New York City. It started with union leaders when they joined forces, and they were going to protest unfair labor practices, if you remember that. And, you know, it's just amazing that it started, you know, way back then. And it's always the first Monday in September. And now then, how many people do you think are flying this weekend?
I would say 20%.
246 million.
Holy smokes!
Yes.
Wow.
246 million people will take to the air.
I have heard that Labor Day is either in the top two, if not the biggest weekend for travel. Is that true?
I guess it is. I thought Thanksgiving was bigger, but it may be.
I thought so too. I was a little bit shocked, and so that may not be. I may have my facts a little bit confused, but I know it's definitely one of the biggest ones. I just didn't realize the actual numbers. That's huge.
But one of the cutest things it says was you need to pack light to avoid stress and those pesky new bag fees. Put everything you need in the top of your bags for security. You know, and I loved all that. And then it said they would tell you where the mediation, where you could go and meditate. And I thought that's the craziest thing I ever heard of in my life. Yeah. It says find your zen at an airport mediation room. Oh, my gosh. Texans wouldn't even know what to think about that.
I don't even know what to think about that. I don't know where you would find such a thing.
Well, in 1882, that's when the first time that they had a Labor Day celebration, 10,000 workers assembled for a parade in New York. And it was in 1894 that it was made official the first Monday in September. Did you know it was that far back?
I did not know that, no.
Now, 35% of people belonged to unions back in the 50s. Now only 10% belong to unions.
Really?
How about that? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They got tired of those pesky fees.
Yeah.
Now 86% of all Americans are going to travel by car.
A lot of people on the road.
There are going to be a lot of people on the road. And now this is cute. 80% of workers say they would take more time off if the boss was just more supportive.
See, I told you it's all about more time off.
I know you said it, but I didn't believe it. Now then, here, this is cute. 37% fear that if they take a vacation, it makes them appear less dedicated to work or replaceable.
Yes.
And that scares them to death. They're afraid if they take a vacation, they'll replace them while they're gone.
Yes, I have heard that. I have actually heard that happening. And so I understand why people are saying that. But I'm also seeing studies that there are some places that say, hey, you have, say, 3 weeks vacation a year, you have to take 3 weeks vacation. And when you go, you have to unplug your phone. Do not check your work email. Do not call in to check in to see how things are happening. And they're starting to do that because they realize that people have to have a break. They have to go. They have to clear their mind. They have to stop obsessing about it. They have to have that physical break. When they come back, it in the long run makes them more productive. But they have to have that break. No working on vacation. I hope that trend continues, but I don't know if it will.
Well, it sounds pretty interesting to me. Now then, 818 hot dogs are eaten every second from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
818 a second?
A second.
Wow.
Now, that tells you the love of hot dogs in this country.
Yes.
I mean, we are a hot dog and barbecue country.
Yes.
I just, you know. And now then, there will be 45,000 accidents this weekend. 45,300 to be exact.
Really?
Yes. Because people are just not careful.
You get more people
now
on the roads, you get more accidents.
Yes. And the average American has spent this summer on a vacation $2,373.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know why, but I would have thought, I guess, my initial reaction is I would have thought maybe more than that.
Well, that's what it says. That's a lot, 45,000.
It is a lot.
And it also says 163.4 million Americans age 16 and above are in the labor force.
16
that's
and above?
That's not very many. Yeah, 16 and above, 163 million.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. There is a lot of people, you know. It's just amazing to me. Yeah. Labor Day weekend, here we are.
Yeah.
And this is 2019 and started in 1882.
That is amazing. So it all started out as people, you know, protesting for labor wages, and that was really the whole focus. Now, Labor Day is just a day off. Nobody really even thinks about the actual reason that we have Labor Day.
No, nobody gives a darn about Labor Day. It's a time to have a good time. And, of course, that was the first parade in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
And Oregon was the first state to take it as an official public holiday in 1887.
Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
Huh.
And, of course, it became a federal holiday, as I said, in 1894.
Yeah.
And people couldn't wait to take off. And they said, boy, we need this extra day off.
Yeah.
And now then, people leave sometimes, as you said, on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it seems like a lot of people focus now, Labor Day. Yeah, you got the barbecues and the traveling and all that. But then you've got, you know, like the, it's all about sheets and furniture and mattresses because they have all those, you know, white sales and, you know, save on your bedding and save on furniture. And,
oh, my gosh, you know all about it. There ain't any doubt about that. And it's always the unofficial end of summer.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
I had also heard, and I cannot verify this because I can't remember where I heard it, but I know sometime this past week I had read something that some organization has also declared Labor Day as the unofficial end of hot dog season.
Oh, no, you can't say that.
Yeah.
It's that's like un-American.
After everybody, you know, explodes with hot dogs this weekend, yeah, apparently most people, it just drops off until next, what is it, Memorial Day, the unofficial start
of
summer? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You say, oh, I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Because I thought everybody ate hot dogs every week of the year.
Oh, I would if I could. See, here's the thing, though. You just repurpose the hot dogs. When we go from warm weather into cold weather, you repurpose your hot dogs in the winter and smother them with chili.
Oh, yes, yes. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You go to chili dogs, okay.
Yeah.
That makes it all right. That makes it wonderful.
Yeah, that way you can still keep up with your hot dog intake, but you know, you kind of adapt it for the cold weather.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So instead of just having chili, have hot dog chilies.
Yeah, yeah,
and
put a little cheese, a little onion on there.
And you know, I'm afraid Texas is going to become a state that everything's got hot sauce in it. I think it's going that way. I mean, every time I look at anything, it's got chipotle in it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The hotter, the better.
Yeah, I mean, everything has got hot sauce in it.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see that.
Now, I will say it's harder to find like a mild sauce or no sauce. There's usually, you go to a restaurant that offers some kind of meat, and quite often you'll see a bottle of some kind of hot something sitting right there that you can smother your meat with.
That's what I'm getting all the time. And, I don't like hot sauce. I like mild. I want everything mild.
Yeah.
And I'll ask them, I'll say, now this particular dish, if I have it, is it hot? Yes. They're honest. Yes, it has hot sauce in it. Yes, it will be hot.
Will they offer it to you without the hot sauce, a little bit more mild?
Yes, they will make you a sauce lots of times. One of the places I eat will make me a sauce that's mild, where I don't have to eat the hot sauce.
All right, so you're not completely out of luck. You can still do something.
No, I just have to ask them to make me up a little sauce, and they will.
Well, that's very nice.
Oh, I think they're very nice about that.
Wow. So Labor Day is a day to sleep in, do nothing, take an extra day, or five if you can get away with it.
That's right, depending on who you can fool the most. I mean, you know, you got to fool somebody to believe in this stuff, you know, that you are too sick to come into work. If they go for that, the sky's the limit.
Clearly, you're not one that can be fooled the most. You won't be on that list.
No, I'm not going to be on that list. My people had to work till Friday.
Wow. And then they're back on Tuesday.
That's right. Everybody's back on Tuesday.
Well,
they get one day, Monday. They do not get two or three days. I mean, they've tried that. They've tried that. Well, you know, everybody else is off. Can't we leave at noon?
Oh.
And then it's, can we leave Thursday night? No. But they try it all the time on every holiday.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
always, well, everybody else in the building is gone. Yeah.
So the parking lot's empty except for your people.
That's right. And us in the bank. The bank, by law, has to stay open on Fridays.
Does it really? I didn't know that.
Well, yes. I'll do a story on that sometime. Yes, banks are required to.
Huh. Oh, I'll
yes.
be.
They can take the holiday on Monday, but they can't take two. They can't take Friday and Monday.
Well, there you learn something new every day, I guess.
That's right, yes.
All right. Well, happy Labor Day to you and all your people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The same to you.
Thank you. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, right before the trivia break, we started talking about the risks involved with a life settlement and this kind of an investment. And so, and I think the thing that, at least for me anyway, this is my interpretation. Yes, you've got three major risks. Yes, you have to tell people about them. But when I look at the risk compared to other types of investments, these seem so low. I hate to say we don't want to mention them, but we do because, you know, that's part of the thing. You want everybody to know. But they're so small. Is that a fair assessment, comparison?
Well, I think so. Your biggest risk, this is bigger than anything, it can go over. And a lot of them do. And it may be a year late. It might be 2 years late. So it can go over. You do have to pay premiums when it goes over until it matures.
All right.
But usually it's not going to hurt you unless you've got some of those old policies.
Yeah.
And everybody knows about that. So, yes, usually it's pretty close to what we have said.
So when people are looking at this, they know basically if it's a 24-month policy, they'll make whatever the profit margin is. It should come in somewhere around 24 months. If it comes
That's
in
right.
early, they still get the same profit. They just get it early. There's no
That's right.
There's no penalties or anything for that. But if it goes over, then they may have to pay those premiums.
That's exactly right. They will. And sometimes they're bigger than others, and sometimes they're very small. Like a lot of the policies we've bought lately, the premiums are very low.
Hmm. And when you say low, what are we talking about?
Well,
roughly speaking,
$500 a year, $300 a year.
Oh, geez, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. And then we've got some that may be, $2,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And which still is not very much money. $100,000, it's nothing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when people start doing the, like, I always like when we run the comparison is because people hear that, ooh, I have to pay premiums. And premium is one of those dirty words in the insurance business. And so people think, oh, they're going to be through the roof. Here's the thing. Let's take let's just take a quick example here for like 10 seconds. Say you got a $100,000 investment. Say it's a 24-month policy at 1% per month. Say it comes in, you're looking at like 24 months for $24,000 profit. Say you have to pay, let's just say $3,000 in premiums. You take your $24,000 sure. profit, you minus $3,000, you're still looking at a $21,000 profit. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. Yes. And it might go 2 years. So you, I would say, well, figure 2 years. You know, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, so that's nothing.
No.
All right. So if it goes over, that's the first risk. And then what's the next one?
The next risk is it's not liquid during the time you're invested, naturally, because you put your money in a policy.
Which
so
means
it's not going to be liquid during that time.
People can't get it. They put it in, and they're in the policy until it matures, and then they get paid.
That's exactly right.
All right. And the third risk?
The third risk is if a life insurance company, you know, if it ever went under, you'd have to wait, you know, for the state. But that is, the possibility is so small it's ridiculous because the companies are worth so much money and they've got so much premium income, somebody would buy them immediately. Mm. And there hadn't been but one that had a problem in the last few years that I even know about.
So,
it didn't even matter.
So technically
somebody bought
it could happen.
It and made it whole.
All right. So it could happen, but, you know, the Earth could get hit by a meteor, too, at the same time. So
that's exactly right. Probably before this would happen.
So now when you say, you know, with the second risk, it's not liquid and people can't get to their money until the policy matures. That's generally not an issue. So if people say, oh, no. My goodness, if I have an emergency, because everybody that needs to be, or everybody that's involved in this needs to be accredited. And so in 9 times out of 10, they're not even going to need it anyway, right?
Nope. Because they all have, remember, they all are working, most of them. They have other money. They have savings. They have checking accounts. And we check all that to make sure they have plenty of money. Going in, we make sure they have emergency money at all times. Most of them have got $100,000 at least somewhere else.
All right. So to be accredited for the program, what does that require?
You must make $200,000 a year in order to qualify. Or if you don't make that much, you can go by assets. And if you've got $1 million in assets, like your ranch, your 401k, your savings, cattle, you know, all these things that are valuable, you add those up. If that comes to $1 million without your home, you've got it made.
Okay. All right. So what does I hate to ask this, but just so that people can kind of get an idea of, you know, where they are compared to people who generally do this type of program, how would you profile an average investor? What do they do? How old are they? What kind of industry are they in? What kind of money do they
have? They're all involved in something in the oil business unless they're a doctor or a lawyer.
All right.
And we have doctors, we have lawyers in our program. We have people that own their own businesses. We've got quite a few of those. And then the rest work for oil companies. They either work for a service company or they work direct for an oil company.
Okay.
And they all have every kind of job in the world. There's every kind of job in the world that they have.
Are we talking mostly, you know, people who are employees or people who own businesses or both?
Mostly employees that make real good money. A lot of them are in management in the oil companies, and then a lot of them may be a welder. You know, welders make more than most people. They make $100 an hour.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. We have one welder. Makes $100 an hour. He makes $2,500 a day.
Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't have to work but 2 days a month.
Goodness, I need to get into welding.
That's right. You're not in the right spot. And so, no, all of our people, it's very diversified. You know, we have a lot of people own their own businesses. We have a lot of people that work for other people. They all have a good 401k when they come to us, or they have a good IRA. So, and we have all kinds of people who come to us.
So what about the people who are saying, okay, this is wonderful. I love how this sounds. This is really a win-win for me. It fits into my lifestyle. It fits into my what I've currently got financially. It fits into everything. However, I may have waited too late to start because, say, I'm like 57 years old. I should have started earlier. I know it, but I waited so long. Is it too late for that type of person?
No, 57 is a perfect age. You could be 70 and still start. If you're just now retiring or you've already retired and you're 70, it'll still work. And if you're 80, we'd have to take a look at it. It depends how much money you've got at 80. But most of these people are 45 years old to 75. They're all in that range.
You know, now that you bring that up, you know, people who have maybe already retired, because we talk about all the time about how, you know, this is an opportunity to invest, and then you grow your wealth, you invest in policies, and then you take your profit, invest it in other policies, and then over, you know, several years, you've grown your money, and that's how you get ready for retirement. But we don't talk very often about, you know, people who are already retired, you know, because you don't have that steady paycheck anymore. And so this would be a good opportunity for somebody who has already retired. Maybe they've got a bunch of money in the bank. Maybe they've got some assets someplace that could be counted towards this. So even if somebody's already retired, this is still an opportunity to safely make some money.
That's exactly right. It's a good way to do it. If you've already retired and you've got $300,000 or $250,000, we can start with that and build it up. It's going to take time. But every year or every 2 years, you're getting money in. So it will help you stay out of your principal. It'll help you try to live on just your interest after a few years.
Mm-hmm. So what about the person that says, oh, geez, Faye, that sounds great. I retired last year. I've got some money, but if I invest it all, I'm not going to have anything to live on. What do you tell that person?
No, we would not let them invest it all. If they don't have money to live on, they've got to put enough cash back for 2 to 3 years.
Okay. So you have
all
this planned
out. So we make them do that. Yeah, we're not going to let anybody say, oh, I don't have any money left if I do that. No, we can't do that.
Nobody wins that way.
No, that's a bad idea.
I'm full of bad ideas.
They'll have to come live with me. I mean, you know.
Bag me boarding house.
That's right. We don't want to screw this up. No, they have to have money put aside for emergencies.
So
where they can live for 2 to 3 years.
All right, so all that's planned out. You know their expenses. You know their lifestyle. You don't want to start, you know, eating ramen noodles, cut out this, cut out that. That's not retirement at all. So that's not even in the picture. So what about the person that says, this is great. I would love to do it, but I'm not accredited. What do I do about retirement now?
Then we're going to do annuities. Annuities is a great fit. I love all ads on TV. One guy says, don't do annuities. Another guy says, do annuities. There's so many kinds of annuities, it's ridiculous. But a fixed annuity, a fixed index annuity, is the safest. The others, if you buy it through a brokerage house, has mutual funds in it. It's just like being in the stock market. You can lose every dime of it if it's a mutual fund and it's in the stock market. So you need to be hesitant about that. But a fixed annuity or a fixed index, it's going to keep your money safe. If the market goes down, this stays steady. It never goes down when the market does. So that makes it a lot safer investment. I just had people this week that wanted annuities. They wanted their money safe. They didn't want the ups and downs of the stock market.
Okay.
So it works pretty good.
So you have a number of different options no matter where people are at. They just need to come see you, right?
That's right. And we're not going to do any funky bonds either.
No more funky bonds.
No. The bonds need to come up. I mean, they're down right now.
Yeah.
So that's not a good idea. Bonds used to be a great idea, but they're not right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, it sounds like there's a win-win situation in this for everybody. And you did say that you have a bunch of policies for those who want to get involved in the life settlement. You've got a bunch of those coming up. What about availability to come see you this week? Do you have times for appointments?
Yes, we do. I think we'll be Wednesday through Friday this week.
Okay. Perfect. So, Faye, one last time, what is your phone number people can call to make an appointment and come see you and get started?
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.